buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
And here we go. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, it's overtime with William Pattison, Dawson Wise, and Jace Brown. Hour number two on a Monday. Atlanta Braves set to have a first pitch at 7:20, so stick with us here for the next 15, 20 minutes. We'll get you caught up on everything in the news with Dawson Wise, and I guess we'll just segue right into it. Our first things first segment in this hour presented by the 37 Club, which provides access to unique content, exclusive events, private communities, and special discounts on Fan Run merchandise. Join on fanrunradio.com today. And this hour's first things first topic is in the news with Dawson Wise. Dawson, take it away.
All right, starting in the NFL today, the New York Jets have traded former number two overall pick Zach Wilson and a 2024 seventh round pick to the Denver Broncos in exchange for a sixth round pick in this week's draft. The two teams will split the remaining salary on Wilson's contract evenly, each team paying $2.75 million of that salary. The trade means that only one of the five quarterbacks selected in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft remains with the team that drafted them. That is the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
There we go.
The other four, now Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, selected at number 3 by San Francisco, Justin Fields, selected at number 11 by the Bears, and Mac Jones, selected at number 15 by the New England Patriots, have all been traded to new destinations since being drafted only 3 years out from that draft. This trade is not exactly a surprise, considering on February 28th, the Jets allowed Wilson to begin to talk with some other teams on pursuing a trade for him before the upcoming NFL draft and the 2024 season. Wilson wanted a fresh start after what was a disastrous and chaotic tenure in New York that ended with him as the backup to Aaron Rodgers. The Jets tried to accommodate Wilson into their plans. It did not work out. He is now headed to Denver. The trade leaves Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor as the only two quarterbacks on the New York Jets roster. The Broncos will now be able to have some flexibility with that 12th overall pick, as Wilson likely replaces the role that Russell Wilson would have filled this year for Denver, as Russell Wilson obviously recently released.
Yes.
When it comes to Zach Wilson in Denver and the expectation for it, it now depends on what the Broncos do on Thursday. I think they draft a quarterback. I don't think that's a secret at this point. I feel like they still go and get a quarterback, but you have a little bit more flexibility as to what you do. I don't think you have to trade up now. Mm-hmm. I don't think you did before, because you could probably get a Bo Nix at number 12.
Yeah.
Potentially a J.J. McCarthy. Sean Payton apparently really likes J.J. McCarthy, so maybe you get him at number 12. But you have a little bit more flexibility. You know, if your guy's not there, you don't want to trade up, roll with it for a year and try again next year if you really want to. With Zach Wilson. Now, he's not a permanent option, but he's an option. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, your starting quarterback going into week one would have been Jarrett Stidham. So, Zach Wilson, you think Zach Wilson's an upgrade from Jarrett Stidham? I mean, I think so. Maybe at least a marginal upgrade.
Yeah, okay. So, look, first off, this trade makes sense. Zach Wilson ran its course in New York. Now, congratulations to the Broncos, probably the worst quarterback room in the NFL. Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, and what is it? He's a former backup, came in for a little bit. I can't remember his name, but it's bad. It's bad. But you talk about the draft, and that's what I wanted to touch on, because they're in an interesting situation now. I don't even think you have to take Nix at 12. I think Nix will drop until, you know, I think past 15. I think if you could get him at your second pick, they've got a second pick, I think. Let me pull up the list here. Do they do?
I have no idea. I'm just waiting.
I'm sorry. But look, Zach Wilson, I don't think will be the long-term starter here. I think that's pretty obvious. What's their coach's name?
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. I'm a little slow right now.
They don't have another first round pick.
They don't have another first round pick.
They only have the one at 12.
Well, what you could do is trade back, though. Trade back, get a third in exchange, and trade back to, you know, like 18 or 19 and get Nix then. Sean Payton's not here to rebuild. He's here to restart. So I think if you've got to get Nix or maybe a Penix later on. But Zach Wilson is not your quarterback. You know, I don't think past week five or six in the ideal world. What a terrible pick he was for the Jets. I guess it just shows that you can wow and impress at BYU and have a really good pro day. That doesn't mean you're going to be a really good quarterback. And it was time to move on. And you talk about Zach Wilson had the opportunity to go talk with other teams. Do you think other teams were talking to him? Or, you know, it's kind of like one of those things on Snapchat. He was texting. He was getting left on red.
I have yet to see it worded as other teams reached out to Zach Wilson. I've seen it. Zach Wilson was able to reach out to other teams.
Yeah, Zach Wilson started texting these teams. His text went green the next day. So
they got blocked, man. I mean, I'd probably do it too. I wouldn't say that he's, you know, the biggest upgrade from Jarrett Stidham, but, you know, he's at least got a little bit of tenure in a starting role. He might be able to man that a little bit better. But beyond that, you know, his ceiling's not too much higher than Stidham. I'll give him that. But I, like y'all have said, I think they still do go to the draft. I'm not sure if they'd want to trade back too far, just in case, you know, somebody gets a little frisky and does want to take, you know, a Bo Nix a little bit earlier than that, or maybe even a J.J. McCarthy if it falls to it. But I still think that, you know, they still do have some long-term options in that draft, especially early on. Sitting at a 12 pick's not the worst place in the world. So I think they really can roll with that. Again, it's just, you know, like you said, the worst quarterback room in you know, the league right now resides in Denver, Colorado.
Next up in college football, a judge in Tallahassee has ordered the ACC and Florida State University to head to mediation in a lawsuit filed by the Noles that could drastically impact the future of the conference. Judge John C. Cooper technically did accept the ACC's motion to dismiss, but gave Florida State 7 days to specify their complaint and provide some additional facts. The conference would then have 20 more days to respond, and another hearing would be over. Cooper said, quote, "The case is not over. This case will continue." He ordered the sides to enter mediation within 120 days, but a mediator cannot force a resolution, so the case could end up right back in court before very long. The Seminoles are pushing for an early exit from the ACC to try to find a more lucrative landing spot, most likely in the SEC or the Big Ten. This is the latest in dueling lawsuits by either side, dating back to September, surrounding jurisdiction, TV deals, grant of rights agreements between schools and the conference. The ACC would like the case to be heard in Charlotte, where the conference is based. FSU wants the case to be heard in Tallahassee, obviously on their home turf. The ACC brought in more revenue in 2023 than they have in the past, a total of $617 million, distributing nearly $40 million to its member institutions. That is still $10 million less than each SEC school received this past year in revenue. Clemson has joined FSU in challenging the conference's right to charge hundreds of millions to leave the conference, but neither school has filed a formal notice of leaving the ACC. For me, this feels kind of like when the case kind of got delayed from Tennessee in the NCAA, where the NCAA felt like it was a win, but it was only very temporary. Ended up in court again. Tennessee gets the win in that case. Feels the same way here. Feels like FSU just going to provide some more information.
Yeah.
And they're ultimately going to win this case, I feel like, because if you kind of read it to me, the ACC charging well into nine figures to leave the conference, and FSU saying, well, why should we have to pay that much? Look at these schools that are leaving for much less than that. It feels like a very temporary win for me anyway. But you know, what do you guys think? You know, is this a temporary win for the ACC?
Yeah, delaying the inevitable
right.
is my approach to this. You know, I think Florida State has been working on this for a while. They understand where the ACC is headed. And, you know, when you really look at the landscape of college football, the ACC is – continue to kind of go down in a downward trajectory. Now you have the Big Ten adding, you know, USC, UCLA, Oregon. Those are big time things. Right. ACC is just sitting there twiddling their thumbs with, you know, NC State and SMU now. Florida State's a big enough brand, a big enough name. They should go to a big enough conference, and that's not the ACC. Delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, I think the exact same. I mean, the FSU brand across the board is, you know, one of the most recognizable in the country. And, you know, I feel like they're probably, you know, rightful for saying, oh, we're only getting $40 million when, you know, we're one of the main drivers of revenue for this conference, if not the main one overall. I think it is a little bit blasphemous for the ACC to, you know, sort of stand on its high horse right now. But like y'all have said, it's only going to, you know, get worse for the ACC. More information is going to spill out that FSU has has probably kept receipts on, and you know, the ACC will slowly, you know, continue to go down that conundrum of, you know, just worsening and worsening and at everything. And FSU is such a big hitter in that conference to lose, but it feels like they're going to lose their top dog.
Last thing, going back to the NFL, Matt Ryan, a former quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons and the Indianapolis Colts, announced his retirement from pro football this afternoon. He played 15 seasons between the two teams, ending his career where it all started, back in Atlanta on a short-term contract. He ends his career as one of the most durable and consistently available players of his generation and of that draft class. He said, quote, "You have no control in this profession and where you start. I am so lucky that my start and my finish was here in Atlanta." Falcons owner Arthur Blank said he believes Ryan will enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame when he becomes eligible. Ryan, now 38, started all 234 games that he played in during his career, including every game for the Atlanta Falcons between 2010 and October 27, 2019, when he missed a game against the Seattle Seahawks because of an ankle injury. In all, he missed just three of the games during his time in Atlanta, where he eventually became the team's all-time leader in just about every passing category. He led the NFL in completions twice, attempts once, and completion percentage once. His career stats, he completed 65.6% of his passes for 62,792 yards, 381 touchdowns, and 183 interceptions with a QB rating of 93.6. He finishes his career fifth in NFL history in completions, ninth in touchdowns, seventh in yards, eighth in passing yards per game, ninth in sacks taken, and 39th in interceptions. His 46 game-winning drives are the second most in NFL history. He, of course, will be most remembered for that 2016 season where he was named league MVP and first-team All-Pro while leading the Falcons to Super Bowl 51. And when you talk about his career, obviously you're going to bring up Super Bowl 51 because of the way that game ended. And I've seen some people today say that perhaps that overshadows his career. I don't think so.
No.
Because it's a team game. He did not lose them Super Bowl 51. That's been covered at much length at this point. He's had an incredible career. Durability is the big thing for me. Again, missing three games during your time with one team, that's an incredible feat that not a lot of guys get to enjoy. And is top 10 in most every passing category in NFL history.
Yeah.
Not even just, you know, modern NFL history. Made his mark on a lot of stats, won a league MVP, was on an all-pro multiple times, and holds the Falcons record in a lot of passing categories. Yeah. I think I agree with Arthur Blank. Eventually, once he is eligible, I think he will get a gold jacket. I think he will go into the Hall of Fame, and he's had an incredible career. To you guys, if he's not remembered for Super Bowl 51, what will Matt Ryan be remembered for?
Yeah, well, look, the people that think that he will be remembered for Super Bowl 51 are the same people eating TV dinners in their mom's basement, you know, just trying to troll. Matt Ryan was the example of reliability and a stud. I mean, he's a guy that you knew was going to play on Sunday, was going to give you his best effort. And he was a great pro, a reliable one. And I think when you look around the league, you really respect guys like that. Kirk Cousins, the reason why I love him going the Falcons is because he fits that Matt Ryan mold. Now, I know he's coming off an injury, but the reliable guy whose his ego isn't too big. He's not, you know, making the team about him. He's just showing up and doing his job, which I respect, and a lot of guys in the league don't really follow that suit. Matt Ryan will be remembered as a stud and a reliable quarterback for the Falcons, and I think he'll also be in the Hall of Fame. What do you say, Jace?
I agree on all those fronts. I think the one thing that I'll remember for, like you said, Dawson, second in all time for game-winning drives. I mean, he's called Matty Ice for a reason.
Yep.
I mean, he gets the job done even in crunch time. You know, I'll remember all those seasons with Julio Jones where it looked like those two were like just the most perfect tandem in the NFL. Those teams were so much fun to watch. Not only was he reliable, but he was damn good at the game of football. He is sorely missed. It's unfortunate the way that his career sort of came to a swift end after being with the Colts for just one season, had to wrap it up really quick there. But you know, him being able to stay healthy for so long and be consistent across all those fronts, I think that's going to be the most memorable thing from him.
All right, and that is in the news with Dawson Wise. The Miami Marlins are headed to Atlanta to take on the Braves. Pitch is set for 7:20. You can hear it right here on Fan Run Radio. Join us again tomorrow for overtime, same time as always, 6 to 8. We will see you then.